Well, Jay, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little cooped up here. It's time for a move, I think. Get some space, some bigger yard, that kind of thing. What do you think?
You are really going to move? But that's a big deal. Like, you can't do
it
that
in
your
big deal.
You're scared to even leave your living room.
What seems like a big deal moving isn't when you use the right people. You can use these sell your own home situations where you're bartering with a guy in your driveway for 45 minutes and you end up selling for $3, or you can use a professional that makes moving actually simple. Who are we going to use?
But the problem is obviously Tom, but my worry is you're so far, you're in Orleans.
Tom will come to Orleans. He'll go to Russell. He'll go to Clarence Creek. He'll go to west of the Westy Village, wherever it is out there. He'll go anywhere for you and make that experience that you were talking about of nervous or a lot of work, make it seem like nothing. Bastion and Ferguson will literally smooth out the easiest move of your life.
Wow, even in Orleans, I just can't get over that.
Yeah, once you hit 10th line, 11th line, 14th line, he's still coming. He's driving in his brand new Dodge Caravan, carries his family around in, will sell your home. That's what I'm looking for, an easy ride with Bastion and Ferguson. Look them up. He's going to sell you quick and easy. You know what? I'm just going to say it, even though we're recording. We need one of those, those movie things that you snap down like that.
That would
be fantastic. So before we jump into the whole life of Vanessa Gilles here, I'm going to ask you this question. You went to school in the U.S., and I want to know the worst or weirdest pronunciation of your last name that you heard in the U.S.
I mean, I feel like I've gotten everything, and it's funny because in Canada, my nickname at CapU is always Gilles because I hurt my Achilles, so which has happened to mine. And then in the States, I just kind of got everything from G to Gilles to Giles, and I just stopped correcting because it just would take too much time.
I figured that. So born near Montreal, but grew up here in Ottawa, we're joined by Vanessa Gilles, Canadian women's national team defender, star of the recent She Believes Cup game, dominating player of the game performance against the world's number one team, the Americans. Welcome to our number one show in our living room.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. So before we jump into that game and the She Believes Cup and everything, you're an Ottawa local youth player. So you mentioned here you played for Capital United. Are there any coaches or anybody that you want to give a shout out to that had a big something in your development?
Influence, Mark. Influence is the word you're looking for. There you go.
That's that word.
We'll ship you a dictionary after the show.
English is hard. English is a hard language.
it's tough, especially when it's your only language.
I actually started soccer late, so I didn't, I haven't had many coaches. So I guess the two coaches or three coaches I could shout out to are Raz Alasmar, who I think has had an amazing influence on not just my career, just me as a person as well. Sanjeev Parmar, everybody I think knows him as well in Ottawa.
come to
our high school and give us, me and my friends, my other teammates, 6 a.m. sessions before school for free, out of the goodness of his heart, because I think he enjoyed watching us run. Obviously Joe Fournier at Louisreal Soccer, who helped me get into soccer in the first place, so for sure.
That's cool that you said that, because we had Joe on a couple weeks ago on our show. So you mentioned you started soccer late. Like, how late did you start?
Well, I actually went to Louis-Riel at first for tennis. So I was big into tennis. Wow. Yeah, the mini skirts and everything. The travel. Yep. No, it was a big thing. it wasn't for me. So I quit, I think, like the end of grade 9. And that's when all my friends were in soccer. And, you know, it just seemed like a fun time in Louis-Riel soccer. So my brother played as well. And I dabbled around in, you know, like Sunday league sometimes. So. It was fun. So I joined there around 15 years old.
Holy cow, 15. Crazy. And were you, like, I did a little sneak research on you and stuff with Joe. Were you a goalie to start?
I was, just because Joey didn't know where to put me, I think. He put me a keeper. And, I mean, I don't want to brag, but I was, you know, I was decent for a high school, you know. I couldn't do anything except maybe run into the ball. So, I wasn't very good. But no, it just got too boring. Yeah. I quit tennis because it was also like a little boring for me with the traveling.
Yeah.
And then I quit goalie because it was also, no offense to goalkeepers, it's a great, I'm not saying.
That's okay. We crush goalies on the show all the time. Yeah.
Well, I would just run up 30 meters and try and like grab the ball out there thinking it wouldn't be a handball. But obviously as a keeper, it's a crowdy box. Yeah, no. If Joey had his way, though, I would have kept with keeper, I think.
Wow.
All right. We'll bring that up to him and
yeah.
point out his quick mistake there. But did going to Louis-Riel and having that, like, sport environment, was that – do you think that was a huge contributor to you? Do you think you would be where you are if you went to, like, a normal high school like me and you'd be eating Doritos on the couch like me?
I still eat Doritos on the couch. Oh,
all right. I have a chance.
I obviously think Louis-Riel. I mean, first of all, if I hadn't gone to Louis-Riel, I don't think I would have started soccer. So
yeah,
yes. And then second of all, I think, you know how complicated it is in Ottawa, especially in the wintertime, to get a field and practice, and you know, so especially in high school, having that bubble right by Louis-Riel and Spiritude, and having coaches and having Sange come out every day was obviously a huge help. And then Capu actually used to practice in the winter at Louis-Riel, so obviously that was kind of nice to travel in between. And yeah. I would just stay with some teammates, and after Spogachud, I would practice with Sanj some more and some of my teammates, and then I would go to Capu practice, which was at the same field. So I definitely think without Louis-Riel and that bubble, things have been more complicated.
Did you ever feel, we asked Joey, like, we're big admirers of the Sport Day 2 program. Obviously, it's produced top players like yourself and Jonathan David. And when we talked to Joe, you know, he was proud of all the other people it produced as well. And as coaches, we can relate to that. But anyways, to my question, like, did you ever at any point during all that feel like any sort of burnout? Was it too much at any point, you know, like Sanj coming in the morning and then doing Capu at night at times? Like, did it ever get to that point?
I think that's a funny question. You're not the first to ask me that. And I think for anyone that knows me, I'm kind of, what's a good word for it? I'm kind of crazy in the fact that I really do, when I set my mind to something, I'm like, go, 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 go. And it's hard to steer me away from that. So, you know, I started late and I knew I sucked. So I knew I had a lot of catching up to do.
Wow.
And I just came from that tennis mentality where, you know, you practice 5 to 6 hours a day and that's just the way it was. And so knowing I had catching up to do and I couldn't make a 5-yard pass with my right or my left. I just enjoyed the practices and I also enjoyed that social aspect, which I was lacking with tennis. So, yeah. You know, practices just became like social hour, but also that time to catch up to players who were, you know, years ahead of me with their development.
Yeah. Steve, was it you and I that were talking about complementary sports to soccer?
Yeah,
it was. And we talked about tennis being one, like, because it's so, like, fitness, or like, tennis players could be the fittest humans on the face of the earth. And it's like the quick feet and the mobility, the movement, like, it's such a great complementary sport to soccer. Just from my super expert opinion. but yeah, so.
No, I agree with that. But it's funny you mention that, because when I tell people that I played tennis and I'm like, yeah, tennis has helped me with soccer. And I say those points as well. They like look at me sideways because obviously quick feet and, you know, mobility and speed aren't the first thing you think of when you think of me. So I would just say to them and be like, well, imagine if I hadn't played tennis, I'd be a tractor turning around.
Yeah, that's, That's funny. That's crazy. But yeah, what was the other? I forget the other one, Steve, though. I think it was basketball or something. But anyway, yeah. So from the Louis Riel insane practices all over the place, like you got, obviously you developed super fast, and were you actively searching for schools like in the US, or did people come calling to you? How did you end up at the University of Cincinnati?
That's actually it's a long story, but when I first started, obviously grade 9, grade 10, I never thought I would go to the States or play pro or what have you. Like, I was really just doing it for me and just to like for the pleasure of it as well. And then grade 10, 11, I like Team Ontario started knocking on the door, and I was like, oh, like this could, you know, maybe I could play university. But I never again thought in the States. Like, I know I would practice with Steve Johnson as well at Ottawa U. He was always welcoming his practices, and that was an amazing environment as well as a high schooler to be able to practice with university talents.
Yeah.
And then I had actually, like, I did the Canada Games with Brian Rosenfeld. And I had committed to another university originally in grade 11 to USC Charlotte. And then they gave me a call like going into my grade 12 in high school. And they were like, no, we actually like found another center back.
Oh, wow.
But like, we'll still give you 50% and we still want you to come. And for everyone who knows, 50% of an American scholarship is still 20 grand a year to pay. So,
yeah.
You know, I kind of gave the puppy eyes to my parents, see like how willing they were to send me. And they were just like, no, you're not going there. I was like, okay, great. And then Neil, the Cincinnati coach, is really good friends with Brian Rosenfeld. So when I called up Brian, like almost crying, being like, I don't have a university. I don't know where to go. Help me. He like called up his two good friends, the Memphis coach and the Cincinnati coach. And he came, the Cincinnati coach just so happened to be looking for a center back. And so he came in November of my senior year, which is incredibly late for schools to be looking. And then he saw me play there and we got to talking, and yeah, that's how it happened. So I committed like January, February, my senior year, like 5 months before leaving. So it was really last minute, but good timing, and everything happens for a reason. So
yeah,
I was very lucky.
That's amazing. I've got like 40 more questions for you. Like, I hope you got like a tea or something and you're ready for like, we suckered you into a whole day's convo here. It's going to be the longest podcast in history. I guess what I wanted to ask you, like, we had Miranda Smith on, and it's something that sort of struck home with me that she was talking about. And I went through a sort of similar thing. Like, to me, it was all, I got to go to the States. If I'm any good at soccer, I've got to go get a scholarship to the States. And I ended up coming back as she did. That whole pathway and, you know, maybe you can speak to it much better than I on the women's side. Did it ever enter your mind to go to Ottawa U with Steve Johnson, or was it just the sort of the stereotype that you have to go to the States? Like, did you want to go there to increase national team chances? I get maybe just kind of speak to that or where you were at that point.
I think Miranda being a very good friend of mine, we were kind of going through the process together with Ontario and stuff. We would, you know, go to Toronto every weekend and talk about this. She had obviously committed a lot earlier than me being in the program for a while. But I think for me, and maybe for her as well, knowing her in high school, going away was more so just to get away from Ottawa and, you know, see new things and experience new things. And the fact that it was free, like completely free, is a big, big seller as well for the States. In terms of level and like national team prospects, I think like the school I went to, maybe Cincinnati, was, you know, at the same level as one of the top teams in Canada, which I think whether I played in Canada at the top teams or Cincinnati, it would have been the same thing, unless I was going to, you know, like UCLA or the top teams, you know, in America, that would have been different. But for me, at the end of the day, it was just for the experience to get away, to see new things. The fact that it was free was nice. But yeah, that was a big thing.
Yeah, leaving school with no student loan debts or anything, that's like a different level of starting. But I looked up your University of Cincinnati, and you know, sometimes on the Wikipedia pages they have like notable alumni. Do you ever see those on Wikipedia? There's Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chief.
Yeah,
Chief. What, Kansas City Chief? Yeah, the Chief. Yeah, just one Chief. Yeah.
He is the chief of Kansas City. Right.
Nick Van Exel of the NBA, Sandy Koufax, Baseball Hall of Famer, and you're there now. I don't know if you've seen it, but you are a notable alumni on the Wikipedia page. That's cool.
Yeah. No, I haven't Googled Cincinnati yet, and I still consider myself an alumni because that just makes me seem old. Yeah. Like I'm still in school.
Yeah, but, so we're on with notable alumni of the University of Cincinnati. That's cool, huh? So you're done your years there, and then I look, and you're in Cyprus. So how, like, connect those dots for us? Did you, like, how did that come to be? Like, did the one Kansas City chief help you, or did
the chief actually called me up and he said, "Let's go on vacation, then you can come at the same time." No, it was like I finished off my season, my senior season, and you guys probably know as well, when you're done season in November, it's kind of a long time from November to July to wait and do nothing and just run about with the team. So I was really hoping to get, you know, a team. And I called up my agent now, who was good friends with one of my coaches at Cincinnati, Alan. And like I like hounded him with emails, like 20 emails. I think he was probably like, "Who's this girl? Get her out of here." I don't even know, like, and so I kept hounding him, and he finally signed me. And I wanted to leave in January because I had planned my schoolwork to have like just two online classes in the spring, so that I could, if the opportunity came, I could go and I wouldn't be stuck doing nothing.
Yeah.
And he called me up. It was like a day after Christmas or something, while I was on with my parents, and he was like, "Hey, like, we found this one team. They're looking for center back. They want you. It's in Cyprus." And I was like, "What is Cyprus? Like, what?" Exactly. And I Googled it, and I had to like zoom 20 times to see the country. And I was like, "Yeah, like, if it's the only team, you know, like, let's go. Like, wherever it may be, if it's the opportunity, I don't care. So let's go." And I ended up having a great time. I spent 5 months there, and I met amazing people who are still really good friends of mine. And
nice.
I got to learn a lot and got my foot in the professional level. And
that's key. Yeah.
Got my goal scoring up from
winning. I was going to say, 10 goals in 11 games from center back?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good confidence boost.
Yeah. No, I thought you played up front for them or something. That's huge.
I wish I tried convincing the coach to do that, but Nope. Still trying to convince the Bordeaux coach here, and it's still not flying.
no dice. I'm going to rewind just a quick second. So when you graduated University of Cincinnati, and forgive my ignorance, but was there an NWSL draft at that point? Like, did you enter the draft? Was that even in your, how did that work? Like,
I did. I was in Cyprus at the time, and I did enter the draft knowing that I probably wouldn't. I mean, I had a good career at Cincinnati, but we didn't do anything extraordinary. We didn't win very, very much with our team, like not many trophies except for one. So yeah, I knew I wasn't gonna get drafted. I didn't expect to, and you know, at the time I also didn't have the level to get drafted, so I just chose the European route. I also have a French passport, so that definitely helped me as well.
Yeah, that's huge, eh? So I'm assuming that's how Bordeaux came about. Like, you dominated out in Cyprus, and then you kind of, agent brought you to Bordeaux. I mean, that's a huge club. That's a big deal.
I wouldn't say I dominated. I think it was the first year that the club I went to didn't make it to Champions League. I mean, they had like the Guinness World Record. They are in the books for most league ones and most Champions League appearances. And then I came around and ruined that. So I wouldn't say I dominated, but
well,
I definitely maybe played my part. So. Through that, my agent found, again, like very last minute, it was the only club that would sign me, and they took a big chance on me, and I'm for sure incredibly grateful to the club to have done that and to have taken me, you know.
Signed a 2-year deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming, is that coming up? I don't know if I'm getting into
It ended in whenever the pandemic started, this summer.
Okay.
I forget what year we are. This
summer. I don't even know. Yeah.
And I just re-signed another two. So I'm here till
20. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to say that clubs must be standing outside your window right now after that She Believes Cup game, like throwing contracts up at your door. Yeah.
Let me jump in, Mark. I just have to say this one thing, because like we were in snob fashion hounding Vanessa, and she's like, she's so nice. And I thought she was going to tell me, like, leave me alone. Like, you know, Man United and Lyon and all these teams like Barca are outside my door. And she said, no, I'm doing classes right now. Like, she's come back from like the most amazing performance ever, and she's back into classes. I thought that, wow, like, that's amazing. Anyway, yeah. I had to throw that in just to say, like, that's impressive. Yeah,
the different type of human she is. I would be outside with the DVD attached to like a string and playing it for everyone on the street. That's what I'd be doing if I were you, but that's why I'm an idiot. So let's talk quickly about your national team career, which is kind of strange, to be honest. Like, looking through your thing, it's like you come to Bordeaux, and then I look and you're like, you're capped by the France under 23 team. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that was almost a huge miss by us. So what happened with, because you said you have a French passport, so that that kind of explains that, but like, how did that come about, like the France game, and then what happened from there?
So I came again, if I get the years wrong, don't hate me, but I came 2018, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to Bordeaux, and I, like, our team, like, had been doing pretty well the past few months, collectively. Like, we'd been, you know, like, we had just recently come in the first division, and now we're like tying big teams like Montpellier and getting our way to the mid table and whatnot. So I think that attracted the French coach is always watching all the games. Whenever there's a game, just know her eyes are on the game. So, oh, okay. I think we were like coming out of a practice, and the list came out, and my name was on this French team. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And obviously, like, I wasn't gonna say no, like, being a kid as well, like, growing up also hearing about the French national team winning the World Cup, and the team had actually just won the World Cup as well, going into camp. So when I went into Clairefontaine, it was like a big statue of a World Cup trophy with like two huge stars, and that's the first thing you walk into when you go to the center, and it was just like a surreal experience. And yeah, I had a great time. Like, I knew most of the girls as well. Like, they all play in the French league, and some of them play on my team as well. So yeah, I had a blast. It was my first experience with the national team, so I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And then literally coming back from that camp a week later, I went home. And then the week after that, or 2 weeks later, Kennett, the Canada coach at the time, called me up, I think like a week before Christmas, and was like, hey, like, how do you feel about coming into camp? I know you were with France like a month ago, but we've been like talking and like watching you for a while now. And, you know, we would love to have you into camp. Like, do you know, like, if you'd rather France or camp? I was like, no, like, absolutely. Like, hands down, for sure.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how it started. And
had you heard from Canada before the France call up? Have they ever been in contact with you about anything?
Yeah, I think Danny at the time had emailed my agent for like footage and stuff as well for the months leading up to that. So yeah, they had emailed us for footage a few times.
Okay.
But yeah, it wasn't until that phone call that I got the call up in January for the Spain camp.
Yeah, that's crazy, eh? What a whirlwind. And then, you know, fast forward a year or two, and then you get this She Believes Cup call. Did you know in advance, but like, how do they let you know about this? Like, how does this process work? So there's like a bunch of you at camp, and then they have to like whittle it down, cut a few people and stuff. Like, how does that work? Like, my experience is like the gym teacher posted like a list beside the gym door.
In the movie?
Are they still posting lists by the gym door, or do they talk to people?
Oh, that'd be so cruel. Come on, we're Canadians.
We're too nice. That's right.
I'm still scarred from missing out on the junior volleyball team. Yeah.
I hope you made the senior one then.
I did. I was the setter. Yeah.
Whoa.
This She Believes, I think, was a little bit of an interesting one, especially for Bev's first camp. I don't think she expected it to be this interesting. I think that's the only word I could put it there. Yeah. With the whole like travel restrictions, the players in France and whatnot, and then injuries, like the team was riddled as well with injuries and players being able to come in and players having to leave camp early. So I think that made her decisions a little less, unfortunately, a little less hard, because from a 31 or 2 roster, there are players at camp, we ended up being 25 and then 24 when I left. So yeah, I think she just talked to the players as well beforehand and had an conversation with them. And I think the players took it well as well. And we had follow-up conversations, I think individually, like seeing how they were doing. So I think it was handled well and very Canadian wise, I hope.
A lot of stories.
Exactly. A lot of stories.
So Canadian.
How early before the American game did you know that you were starting? Like, how quickly do they tell you that? Or is it like, you know, game day, or how early did you know you were starting? And second point of that question, obviously you had some sort of agreement with Bordeaux, Canada, Air Canada, whatever, this, that, and the other, that you'd play your game and then go back. So because Buchanan and Huitema, they didn't get released like you did. Like, so first part of that 80,000 pound question, how early do you know when you're starting? And B, can you tell us about that agreement that you had there?
Okay, the first part of that question. Starting, that's what it was. I think it varies from coach to coach how they prefer to do it. But this time I think we knew, or I know we knew a couple of days, a day or two before the game, just to be able to prepare mentally for the players who played and players who didn't, and just to know our role and whatnot. So I think that helped as well with, you know, everybody's mindset and nerves going into the game, being able to prepare for that game, that big game, a year after being together. Wow. And then the second part of that question was the Bordeaux agreement. I'd been in discussion with my club for a few weeks prior to that She Believes camp, just to know like their side of things, like letting a player go for that long already is hard, and then having them quarantine for a whole week just adds to that being hard. So I could see their point of view, and being, you know, like at the end of the day, there are employers, so I can completely see their point of view, especially with the objectives that we have this season, it being Champions League and finishing third, and having important games coming up. So I was fortunate enough that they let me go for one game. Awesome. Because like you said, Jordan and Keish and Ash weren't able to go at all. I said, okay, like no problem. And here I am quarantining. So
am I getting it back here? Is it weird or is it just my mic? Never mind. Playing the U.S., knowing that you're playing the USA, number one team in the world, you know, all these, you know, the poster women of American soccer. Was that like, talk to us about that. And who was the one player on the American team that you found was the most difficult to play against?
You know, it's a lot of players before the game, like on Canada, and a lot of my friends had asked me, are you nervous? Like, are you nervous playing the U.S.? Are you just nervous playing Canada? And I mean, maybe internally I was subconsciously, but at the end of the day, it's just a soccer game, right? And after a year of not playing with the national team, and, you know, you just go into the game. I think it was Sophie Schmidt who said it, you know, we have nothing to lose. So just go out there and enjoy the game. And that's what my mindset going into it was. And so I wasn't nervous or stressed, or, you know, at the end of the day, if I made a mistake or if I made a bad pass, I don't think I had, you know, like people wouldn't have been like, oh, whatever. So I went into the game thinking it was just a soccer game. And at the end of the day, it was a soccer game. And I tried to just enjoy it as much as I can. And I think that most of the team and all the team did as well, just enjoying being back together. And that's, you know, first game back, I think we saw that passion, that Canadian grid, and everybody just fired up to play. So, and then the one American or player on the States, I would say that I was like, whoa, you know, like on TV, I knew you were good, but like, whoa, was probably Horan. Like, I didn't realize she was strong as well. And like, she was, I always saw her as like shorter than she is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like our first 5 minutes, I think I went up for a header against her and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're a bit stronger than I thought you were and a bit taller. definitely her end.
Yeah. You had in that game, it was like you were the player of the match by far. Steve was like tweeting like a maniac during that game. You were like, you had 20 clearances and 7 interceptions. And I'm positive the 20 clearances were all off of your head. They're like, you won every header in the history of soccer in that game. It was unreal. So like that,
let me jump in, Mark, just to be like fanboy and make it awkward now. Like I love like the clearances, all that stuff. And I'm not sure if I was said it on the show now or before the show. My son was just watching this like, oh my God, she's from Ottawa. Like you won him over. My neighbor who's U11 girl was like texting us about it. So, but what impressed me as a coach, I think what like I've seen you, I would say in bits, that's maybe the longest, like, I don't know if I've sat down and watched a full 90 minutes and that's my ignorance and I apologize, but your passing was fantastic. Like your ability to split the lines, keep possession. Like it was just like, I don't know. You were the complete package in that game. And like, it was exciting to see. Like, I'm just like proud as a fellow Ottawa person and someone who's seen you only in bits and pieces, like, you know, and there's others like Joe who have been talking about you forever to us and like gnawing away. And, you know, you may have already known your biggest accomplishment was being number 8 on the Snob's top 10 Ottawa players of all time. But, you know, seeing that, it was like, wow, like this is
we got to redo that list.
Yeah, we're going to get shot up for sure.
Yeah. So here's a follow up to that, just to Steve's insane. How many messages?
Yeah.
How many text messages were on your phone when you got back to the change room?
quite a few. I also have all of my really good friends and best friends are old teammates of mine from Ottawa mostly. Mm-hmm. Who played on Capital United with Raz and who went, you know, some or most of them went to the United States to play and the others went to Canada to play in university. I think that was the first time they'd seen me play as well. So took my phone off airplane mode and just from like my friend group, we're like five or six, I guess, including myself. I had like 300-400 messages from them, like commentating the game. And I think that's so that was really a cool moment for me as well. Just having my friends and family see me for the first time play, I think in forever since Ottawa.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. And I mean, it has to be, but your Twitter followers and your Instagram must have jumped like 1,000% the next morning. Surely there had to be a noticeable jump.
I don't know, honestly. I haven't checked, but no, like I said, the coolest thing was just like the support from back home from my friends.
Yeah. All right. It's amazing.
I think I don't know, Mark, you should answer this because I just got one soccer recently. It's been a bone of contention on the Snobs here. I don't know if they play the French Women's League on One Soccer. And if they don't, then I don't know where to see it. And it's a shame because there's Lyon, you know, PSG, Bordeaux is like, I've been tracking the standings, obviously. And like, these are some amazing teams. Like, I'd love to watch that more frequently, right? So anyways.
Yeah, I know. That's been a big thing as well for like a debate for here in France and well, even in Canada, because my friends are always asking me, how do we watch you play? Like, right. Is it on TV? And I think the game is developing because in Canada, I cannot tell you what channel, but they're finally airing the England games,
Sportsnet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing competition up there as well with some of the Canadians playing up there. And I know I'm always watching on the FA player, you know, I'm like, what is Janine up to? What's Shalina up to? Like, go see them. I think the French league just got televised 2 years ago. They started being televised every game. Okay. But even then, it's complicated in France to get that channel, to get that subscription and whatnot. So, you know, bit by bit, I think the game is developing and that's an area that's starting to pick up, which is nice. Just Canada needs to, you know.
Yeah. Especially the Champions League games. Like, I don't know how we don't get these games. And I know One Soccer is doing a lot for, you know, every time Jonathan David plays, I get like 74 notifications. It'd be nice to get them from, you know, all over the women's game too, because it's fun. I'm going to lose my family soon watching so much soccer, but it's fantastic. I love it so much. Losing
your families on Tuesdays and Wednesdays as well on Champions League Day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They're used to that by now.
Yeah, exactly. So what's next for with the national team now that like the Olympics are this summer? Is there going to be a camp before that? Like, do they keep in touch via email? Like, how does it work? Like, do you just go and wait for them to contact you, or do you like, I don't know. I don't know how it works. Do you text them like, hey, how you guys doing? You know,
you really want to figure out how it's done.
Yeah, this is the nitty gritty that I love.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't. Like I said, it's a new staff, so I think each staff has a preference. Usually, we get like a. They definitely keep in touch like throughout our group chats, and Canada's been great with Robin Gale, who's in charge of, you know, setting up meetings and also seminars, which I think have been a huge part of Canada's soccer right now, just with, you know, with everything that's happening in the world, just our awareness and our willingness to learn, not just about soccer. Like the other day we had a person from Ottawa, I think their name was Kara, just teaching us about, you know, how to act with transgenders. And I think that was a great conversation and an honest conversation to be had. And then the week before, it was, you know, bringing our attention to racism, not just in the US, but in Canada, which was for me eye-opening, because everyone always says, oh, Canadians are so nice. There's no racism. There's no nothing going on. And then she just like blasted us with facts. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, okay, we have a lot of work to do in Canada. So just like the team's willingness, not just to be together for soccer, but topics like that happens every few weeks, which is for me an amazing part of our team as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So speaking of like important people speaking to you, I read that did you speak at a UN meeting of some kind?
How does that always come up?
I read that and I thought that was super. Like, I mean, beyond your athletic prowess and your great soccer ability, for somebody like you to speak at something so important, what was that? What was that? When was that? And what was it for?
It was, we went with our team again, the years get blended. So I think a year or two ago, so 2 years ago, maybe we went to America on like a tour because our owners here were American. We ended up going to Washington and New York, and then while we were there, we stopped at the UN. We were invited to go to the UN. It just so happened that they were doing a conference on women's rights, and more specifically women's rights in sports. Which was like, again, like unlikely timing, but it was amazing. So we went, and we were surrounded by amazing women as well. Pele's daughter was there, gave a speech, and a lot of ambassadors as well for women in sport gave speeches, which were eye-opening from their perspective. And they invited a player to speak, and the club kind of chose me, I think, because I was one of few people who spoke English. and it is a topic that, like, you know, kind of fires me up to talk about.
For sure.
I spoke briefly about you know, the challenges from my viewpoint that is going on with women's soccer, not just in France, but as well, like we talked about the States, like the opportunity to go with WSL, Canada having a pro league, and then like, you know, me having to go to Cyprus to play pro, being so far away from home and getting paid next to nothing, like just difficulties like that, which you know, people don't often talk about the nitty gritty.
It's true. So I don't want to jump on Steve if he's got anything else here, but I got a few quick questions, like get to know Vanessa Gilles a little bit more.
I got one, Mark. Let me start, because I think it's a good get to know, and it's something.
Okay, I like this build up. Hang on.
I know it's something. It's something.
Get me in trouble?
I wouldn't say trouble. I've been requested that you that I ask you, and that you maybe answer to it or describe. Let's just ask the question first, okay, Vanessa? I'll do the asking here, okay? So I need to ask you about a certain dance at OFSA in 2009 with Carol Ann Hutchinson to see if that jogs your memory.
What's the question?
Does it jog your memory? Do you remember the dance?
No, but I remember thoroughly being embarrassed.
By the dance?
By just the event. I don't remember the dance specifically, but I remember Joe having a way of embarrassing me. And I think that was
one of them. So may have a video of this, he said.
No.
Yeah. So I was just, he wanted me to bring that up. So I figured I'd do that on his behalf.
Yeah. Don't worry. We have no capabilities to play anything of that. We can barely turn on our computer.
We've told him to erase it immediately.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say, because pre 2018 Vanessa is not a pretty sight.
I'm sure it was fine. He thought it was hilarious. And then, you know what? If you want Offset, you do whatever the heck you want as a dance.
Yeah. You know, Joe always has a way of picking on players. He used to, my nutrition wasn't the best back then. Wasn't, you know, anything back then, to be honest. And I would have like a bottle of sprinkles that I would bring on away trips, you know, in our little Louis Riel bottle. Bus.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of my snack, just like a bottle of sprinkles that I would, you know.
No way.
M&Ms, I had sprinkles, all right? And so whatever. And he would just come up to my chair and like throw them out the window. And the Louis Riel windows were this small, right? He would just, Joey, that's all these bags I brought.
Oh my god!
I bring like waffle cones, you know, like for ice cream. Waffle cones,
They're
the best part of the ice cream. And he'd be like, "Oh, like, can I have one?" So I'd give him the pack, of course, because I'm nice and like take lunch.
Yeah.
And he would literally just crumple up all my waffle cones into bits and give it back to me.
Wow, that's a different side of Joe that we did. Yeah.
Video. I have more stories like that. Right.
You utilize them. I'm actually against him. I'm angry now. Who crushes waffle cones like that? And if you are genius enough to have the sprinkles with you, like I'm gonna go and do this myself now. Like I don't. Yeah. Anyway, I'll let Mark get to some better questions.
Yeah, I choose to believe it was because he was looking out for my nutrition, but deep down, I know it was just to be annoying.
Yeah.
All that's in my head now is where's my baking goods so I can get some sprinkles in me before this day's out. So you're in quarantine right now. What was the last movie you've watched?
Movie, The Bourne Supremacy, probably.
Oh, great.
But only halfway because I fell asleep at 5 a.m.
What was the last TV show that you watched?
Oh, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yep. Ooh. My roommate's catching up right now.
Wow. All right. Who is the first phone call you made after the She Believes Cup game?
To my friend group. They were like, I was on the bus and I was trying to get through all the notifications and messages and trying to, you know, text my parents for one. And it was just like call. And I reject. But then when I got to the hotel, I finally answered, which was nice. So my friend group.
Who's the funniest / biggest joker at the She Believes national team camp?
Great question.
Oh God, joker. I guess Des always makes me laugh. She's just like a ray of sunshine, and then she speaks her mind, and she makes everybody laugh. So I'll say Des for sure. Right. Scott, Desiree Scott.
Who is your roommate?
Yeah.
I was gonna say as I got to know you through this hour, I'm like, you may be the answer to one of my questions.
I'm trying to seem humble by not saying myself, but myself, Desiree Scott.
Yeah. Was she your who is your roommate?
Well, with COVID, we have individual rooms.
That's right. We have a global pandemic that slipped my mind. It's like
a great company with myself.
No, that's good. Would you rather watch a super scary movie or a super sad movie?
Neither. I'd rather watch cartoons, I think. I'll watch Star Wars or something.
We didn't realize Mark. Marathon right now.
Yeah. What's your pregame meal other than sprinkles?
A pregame meal here, probably like tofu, rice, veggies, tofu, fish, veggies. Simple.
Post your favorite post game meal.
Oh, pizza. Easy.
Oh, nice.
We always we get pizza after games sometimes with Canada, which is heavenly.
It's huge. If there's an apple and a pear on your counter, which one do you reach for?
Apple, I guess. Is it like sweet?
I don't know. Say it's what you prefer.
Yeah, I'll go with the apple because you could put peanut butter on it.
Oh,
you're tricky.
I like that answer. You know, a pear is so specific. A pear has to be like the perfect amount of soft. If it's too hard pear, you have no teeth.
No.
Yeah. But it's
a stupid question. Apples taste so much better than chomping on the apple.
That's a very good point. True. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last question I'm going to ask, and I'm going to write it down because it's a little competition between the three of us. I'm going to ask Vanessa first. What is the score today in the Canada-Brazil game?
Ooh. Okay. I've been thinking about this all day, actually.
Nice.
I think 2-0 for Canada. 2-0. And 2-0 because I want Dez to score her first goal. And I'm going to go with the second one because I think Janine deserves a goal. So
yeah.
2-0. Yeah. Janine does. She's and great. We love a clean sheet. So.
Okay. Steve, what's your prediction?
Not you.
I'm always last.
You're in control. I like that. It might change my answer. I don't know. I'm gonna desperately hope Canada wins. I'm gonna say 2-1. I'm gonna say no clean sheet without you there. I apologize for that. I know this is hurting you. I'm gonna say Becky gets one. I think she's due. We had her on. She's fantastic. I thought you might throw her in as a joker. Maybe I see she's got a little edge to her that I like.
She's quite funny. I'll give her that.
Yeah, she's due. I'm not sure who else. I won't go that far. I think she's due. I think 2-1, and I think we win it.
All right. I'm gonna go 1-0, but an early goal as Zdorsky off a corner. I can see it happening.
If it was 3-0, I would have given Chilina a goal as well.
All right. So we're gonna see. We're gonna announce after the game on social media who was the closest between the three of us. Winner gets a box of sprinkles we can send to you.
Yes.
How big is the box? Like an Amazon box?
You know what? We're gonna look into that, and we're gonna send you a snob package of goodies. You know what? We're gonna send you waffle cones, sprinkles, and a picture of Joe, so you can throw darts at it. Yeah.
Go get that package anywhere near Joe.
Yeah. Perfect. So I'm going to wrap it up just quickly by saying, like, I this was like beyond enjoyable. I love your just your personality. You're like you bring out fun in us, and you're a fun person to talk to. You're an unbelievable athlete, and you're speaking at the UN's women's you're a well-rounded, fantastic person.
Be careful. I might be too big to walk out the door soon.
Yeah, no, I'm so happy you came on and talked to us. This is awesome. Like, it's almost like a starstruck moment after watching that game, seriously. But good luck with everything going forward. We'll be your hugest supporters here on our show.
Yeah, I want to echo that from Mark, actually. I wanted to, we didn't get into some of the stuff that you were talking about with that Canada brought in about transgender and what you guys did for Black Lives Matter at the tournament. I thought was amazing. Would love to have you on again someday after you win the Champions League with Bordeaux, maybe at the end of the year, next year or something. I did want to say, like, you know, your performance and the fact that we can't watch you at Bordeaux is a shame, but your performance the other day really did win over, like, just like girls here in Ottawa. Like, like I said, my son's team is training at the same time as a U11 girls team. And like you were the talk of the bubble that day. Like, and that's amazing. And what I ended up telling a lot of them, what I will end up telling them is just your story of like that you didn't give up, you know, you lost a scholarship, you look for something else. Like, I loved how you said, you know, people who get to know you're zoned in. Well, that's why you made it. You know, you didn't do tennis and you went on to soccer. You know, you dealt with your setbacks. You went to Cyprus, you know, you should probably got drafted in NWSL. You started at France and Canada called you and you took your chance. So I just admire that. And it's something that I'm going to throw out there. I hope, you know, you're a role model. I hope your head does fit through the door still. I think you're a very humble person, but I hope you feel proud of what you've accomplished so far. And I can only see you doing so much more. So, like, congratulations so far in your career, and hopefully we can stay in touch.
Yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And I do appreciate you guys trying to bring Ottawa soccer in light you know, trying to get people talking in Ottawa soccer, because I do think Ottawa soccer has a lot to give and isn't given a lot back, you know, with Team Ontario being in Toronto and whatnot. So yeah, I think it's very hard in general for soccer players, and even more so for Ottawa soccer. So keep doing what you guys are doing. I think it's really cool. And I didn't expect you guys to be so funny. So thanks as well for that. Appreciate it. And yeah, all the best.
Hold on. I'm going to say that louder so my wife can hear.
No. Yeah. That's it.
No, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks very much for listening today. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and, of course, leave us a 5-star review. If you want to get in touch, you'll find us on Instagram at SoccerSnob1, on Twitter at SoccerSnobs1, by searching for us on Facebook, and of course on the web at www.soccersnobs.ca/listen. You can leave us your opinion, give us any comments, and if that's where you want to get nasty, feel free to do so.